वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट नंबर 36। नय तन्मनो विशति वागुत चक्षुरात्मा प्राणेन्द्रियाणि च यथा नलम् अर्चिषस्वा शब्दोऽपि बोधक निषेधतयात्ममूलम् अर्थोक्तमाह यदृतेन निषेध सिद्धि नय तन्मनो विशति वागुत चक्षुरात्मा प्राणेन्द्रियाणि च यथा नलमर्चिषस्वा शब्दोऽपि बोधक निषेधतयात्ममूलम् अर्थोक्तमाह यदृतेन निषेध सिद्धि नय तन्मनो विशति वागुत चक्षुरात्मा प्राणेन्द्रियाणि च यथा नलमर्चिषस्वा शब्दोऽपि बोधक निषेधतयात्ममूलम् अर्थोक्तमाह यदृतेन निषेध सिद्धि माताजीज, न कैन नॉट एतत् दिस सुप्रीम ट्रुथ मनः द माइंड विशति एंटर वाक द फंक्शन ऑफ स्पीच उत नॉर चक्षु साइट आत्मा intelligence, prana, the subtle air supporting life, indriyani, the senses, cha, or, yatha, just as, analam, a fire, archisha, its sparks, swaha, own, Shabdaha, the authoritative sound of the Vedas. Api, even. Bodhaka, being able to indicate by verbal reference. Nishedhataya, because of denying such. Atma, of the supreme soul. Moolam, basic evidence. Arth uktam, expressed indirectly. Ah, does express. Yat rite, without which. Supreme. Na, there is not. Nishedha, of the negative statements of scripture. Siddhi, ultimate purpose. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. This verse was taken on Sunday. I read the translation and the second part of the purport I will read. Because the first part of the purport we discussed on Sunday. Translation. Neither the mind nor the faculties of speech, sight, intelligence, the life air, or any of the senses are capable of penetrating that supreme truth. Any more than small sparks can affect the original fire from which they are generated. Not even the authoritative language of the Vedas can perfectly describe the supreme truth. Since the Vedas themselves disclaim the possibility that the truth can be expressed by words. But through indirect reference, the Vedic sound does serve as evidence of the supreme truth. Since without the existence of that supreme truth, the various restrictions found in the Vedas would have no ultimate purpose. Purport. We start from the fourth paragraph. Although the absolute truth is transcendental to the material creation and therefore beyond the scope of material senses, when those same material senses are saturated with love of Godhead, they become spiritualized and empowered to perceive the absolute truth. As stated in Brahma Samhita 5.38. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santaha sadai hridayeshu vilokayanti yam sham sundaram achintya gunaswarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee, whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shama Sundar within the heart of the devotee. In Bhagavad Gita 11.8, Lord Krishna says to Arjun, Natumam shakya se drashtum ane naiva svachakshusha divyam dadami te chakshu pashyame yogam aishwaram. But you cannot see me with your present eyes, therefore I give you divine eyes by which you can behold my mystic opulence. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam describes many incidents in which Supreme Absolute Truth revealed Himself to His devotee, as is the histories of Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruv Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, Kardam Muni, the Pandavas and the Gopis. Therefore, the Vedic assertions that Absolute Truth is beyond the power of the eyes refer to those who have not received transcendental eyes by the mercy of the personality of Godhead. But the Lord's own transcendental senses, which are the source of our limited senses, are confirmed in the Shruti as in the following statement from the Kena Upanishad. Kena Upanishad 1.4. Yad vachan abhyuditam yena vak abhyudyata तद एव ब्रह्मत्वं विधि नेदम यद इदम उपासते। Brahman, the absolute, should be understood to be that which cannot be ascertained by the material power of speech. Speech itself is evinced by the supreme truth. By the statement yena vak abhyudyate, our power of speech is expressed by the absolute truth. It is clearly expressed that absolute truth has his own transcendental senses, therefore he is called Rishikesha. Srila Narad Muni has stated, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate, our senses cannot approach the absolute truth by their own power. But when engaged in the loving devotional service to satisfy the Lord of the senses, our limited senses must become connected with the Lord's unlimited senses. And thus, by the Lord's mercy, he can be understood. Srila Madhvacharya has quoted the following statement from the Brahma Tarka. Anando ne dirshananda iti ukte lokatah param pratibhati na chabhati yathavad darshanam vina. The transcendental bliss of the absolute truth cannot be compared to the ordinary happiness of the material world. Similarly, in the Vedanta Sutra, the absolute truth is described as anandamaya, or full of bliss. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So after such wonderful nectarian katha last 2 days, weekend, and also after retiring festival, some of you are working quite late doing seva. I feel a little nervous to speak. What should I speak after such wonderful kathas, hearing? Seeking your blessings, we'll try to speak something. Here, the purport, the section which we are dealing with today, it starts with, although the absolute truth is transcendental to the material creation and therefore beyond the scope of material senses, when those same material senses are saturated with love of Godhead, they become spiritualized and empowered to perceive the absolute truth. They become spiritualized and empowered to perceive the absolute truth when they are saturated with love of Godhead. And the verse quoted is Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. So it starts with Prema. In this world, everyone is looking for Prema in some form or other. When we speak of the concept back to Godhead, we have to go back to Godhead, Bhagavad Dham Jana Hai. But we see in many spiritual organizations, the same concept is discussed in different angles. At least the concept of prema, a loving society, a loving, a nice place to stay in this world, Like there is one organization very nearby. They speak that how it's not 84 lakh species, it's 84 species which we go through. They say it's not 84 lakh, it's 84. And then they say, if I correctly understood their philosophy, something like that. They say we were living in Satyayug and we were all like gods. But over the period of time, we have become degraded with the coming of Kali Yuga and we have forgotten we are gods. And then we have to revive that Satyayug again by developing those godly qualities. I was thinking, fine, we may differ in philosophy. Not saying that this is good or this is good. But the concept is everybody wants to live in a place which is full of love and great companionship and great people around us. So somebody says it's Satyayug and somebody says it's back to Godhead. Of course it is back to Godhead, I'm not refuting. But the concept is a place which is just all beautiful. They also aim at that, we also aim at that, which is all beautiful. And all beautiful which is full of love, where there is no envy, there is no hatred, as the concept which is mentioned is prema. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. One has to develop that eyes of love. Yes, saturated with love. So some institutions say like that. Now some institutions they say that they say we have to go to heaven. But then some followers say, it's not heaven. We have to create this place as heaven. So although we say this is dukhalaya, but by changing ourself from within, we have to create this place as heaven. A beautiful place to live in. So again the same concept. The beautiful place everybody is aiming at. There's another philosophy which says that why you are searching for God somewhere else? God is right there within you. God is right there all around you. Just open your eyes and you will see. What are you aiming at? You just already have it right next to you. That's another beautiful understanding. There's another philosophy which says, please do not try to change the situations around you. Change yourself from within. And the whole world will become beautiful. Change yourself from within and the whole world will become beautiful. Like Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in 12th chapter, a lot of emphasis is given on Vaishnava, on qualities of a devotee. That what are the qualities of devotee? And it starts with Advesta Sarva Bhutanam Maitra Karuna Evacha Nirmamo Nirahankara. With all these verses, he end Yo Mad Bhakta Same Priya. Such a devotee is very dear to me. One who is decorated with all these wonderful qualities. Around 20 qualities are given in this 12th chapter. And then throughout the Gita, in all more than 11 chapters, Lord Krishna focuses on developing qualities. Which means the same concept, that change yourself from within. And if you change yourself from within, actually there is no, the whole world becomes Vaikuntha. Vishwam Purna Sukhayate, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Vishwam Purna Sukhayate, whole world. So then whether you say heaven, whether you say Satyayug, or whether you say back to Godhead, in concept the whole world just becomes beautiful. If one actually understands these concepts properly. Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. Even Parikshit Maharaj in first canto, 19th chapter, we hear is one of his prayers which he makes in front of the sages, preparing for death. He says, Punascha Bhuyat Bhagavati Anante Ratihi Prasangas Chatat Ashrayeshu. What is the next line? Mahat Suyame Upayame Srishti Maitri Astu Sarvatra. Wherever I take birth, No, again, he's about to die, so he's not thinking, he's not like emphasizing, I must go back to Godhead, make sure Krishna, okay, do you understand? He's telling all the sages, make sure I go back to Godhead. But he is speaking with such humility, punascha bhuyat bhagavati anante, wherever I take birth. So there's another beautiful concept. Wherever I take birth, maitri astu sarvatra. I have friendliness with all living entities. Friendliness. Friendliness. This is talking about friendliness, compassion, association of devotees, rati prasanga stradadashreshu. And rati bhagu, and devotion to the Supreme Lord, he's praying that. Again, talking about the concept of having love, compassion and friendliness within this world. Even Sripad Ramanujacharya, in his teachings, if you hear his teachings, if you read his teachings, one of the things which he was emphasizing very strongly in his last days, in the final teachings to his disciples, where he's speaking, he's telling, do not be too eager to go back to Godhead. He's emphasizing more on developing service attitude right in this world than being eager to go back to Godhead. In fact, one of his disciples, I think Kuresh, one of the prayers he make to, in front of Ranganath, I guess, or in Kanchipuram, I think it's Ranganath, he prayed to Ranganath, then let me go back to Vaikuntha before my spiritual master. So then one may say, Ramanujacharya is telling that, okay, do not be too eager to go back to Godhead, but then here Kuresh is telling, let me go before my spiritual master. And what was the idea behind it? Because he has heard when somebody goes back to Vaikuntha, then everyone comes to welcome him. Even the most senior devotee comes to welcome him and give honor to him. So he doesn't want to be welcomed by his spiritual master. He's saying, let me go and make arrangements and make preparations and do some seva for my spiritual master in Vaikuntha also. So Sripad Ramanujacharya, on one side he's emphasizing, do not be too eager to go back to Godhead. But main thing is, develop the right kind of service attitude. That's what he has been focusing. Again, making this world a beautiful place where everybody is just so much into service attitude, into friendliness, into loving and into compassion mood. Another example I had been discussing last few days, I was reading one thing about from Ramayana, where Mantra and Kekai, how they are dealing with the, now the whole world talks about Rama Rajya, the days of Ram as being so beautiful, reviving that Rama Rajya. In fact, that's all Vaikuntha, all about. It's just spiritual world right there in Ayodhya. And then we see here the whole Ayodhya, the whole empire is celebrating that Lord Ram is going to be coronated. Lord Ram is going to become the king. Lord Ram will be there. In fact, as soon as Dasharatha speaks out, he asks all his mantris, all his ministers, all the sages that, what do you think about this opinion? I am thinking that Lord Ram, that my son Ram should be coronated. And even before, I think he completes his description, they just say, Jai, Jai, very nice, great. Why were you sitting on the seat so long? Just move aside. Give place to Lord Ram. This means everybody was so eager. Everybody was just so much looking for that, that shelter. But here there is one person. Initially Mantra and then Kaikai joined. In spite of such a beautiful Vaikuntha atmosphere where everybody is full of love for Lord Ram, just one lady in her heart does not harbor the right kind of feelings. The problem is not outside, problem is inside. Again, the same concept we are talking. Because when we are saying saturated with love of Godhead, premanjana churita. So he's talking about saturating your inside with love. So problem is not outside, No, here we do see, I mean, in one sense, we do see so much problem outside, but definitely in times of Ayodhya and Lord Ram, problem was definitely not there outside. Even when we read Dwarka, we read Hastinapur, and Kunti Maharani is praying that how when your lotus footprints were decorating this planet, this Hastinapur, it's so flourishing. And when you will go away, what will happen? And then Dwarka is described that how those footprints, it's just flourishing. Dwarka's opulences are described. So definitely in Ram Raja, it was just so beautiful. Ayodhya was beautiful. But still, Mantra could only see inauspicious omens. She could not see anything auspicious. She could not see anything great happening in Ayodhya. She was just filled with so much Mantra and later on Kekai was so... Now, one thing is, Kekai is such a beautiful lady outside. Now, outside, she is beautiful, and that's what actually captivated Dasharatha Maharaj so much. So much attached to Kekai. So, externally, she is beautiful, but inside, the beauty is missing. And because inside beauty is missing, nothing appears to be beautiful. But when inside is beautiful, everything becomes beautiful. And yesterday we were hearing about Lord Balaram's Leela. If we hear this chapter on, in Dhenukasura or Pralambasura's chapter. I think in Dhenukasura's chapter, we see the the Vrindavan atmosphere, which is just imbued with love. Where Lord Krishna is, Krishna and Balaram are out with all the cows. They have gone with all the cows and... And suddenly Krishna sees the atmosphere of Vrindavan is so enchanting. And actually when the atmosphere is nice, you just become more playful, you want to just enjoy. Atmosphere is beautiful. And Vrindavan's atmosphere is described, Yatra naisarga durvaira sah asanri mrigadaya mitrasina jitavasa dutatutarshanadikam. A place... Now here we see in Krishna and Balaram what kind of mood is being established. Absolutely free from envy. Just loving mood. Glorifying mood. Glorifying each other. Well, Lord Krishna is going with Balaramji and all the cows are in the front and all the boys are just glorifying Lord Krishna and Balaram. And there Krishna is... And he sees how in Vrindavan every living entity is just wanting to glorify, wanting to offer their services, wanting to offer their love, and reciprocating and seeing their exchange, and appreciating how each living entity is wanting to render service, he starts glorifying Balaramji. Now you see, Vrindavan atmosphere is just glorification, praise, appreciation, and full of love, and full of service. Premanjana Churita. It is just imbued with love of God. There is no trace of any kind of envy. The Lord Krishna tells Balaram, he says, just look how each and every tree is wanting to offer service to you. He says, just look how they are so much full of so many fruits and so many flowers and they are all bowing down at your lotus feet, wanting to offer all what they have in your service. He's telling Balaramji. And then he says, look at the bees. Look at these beautiful bees, which are like great devotees, great souls, who are falling after you as if they have identified you, who is hiding in the form of a cowherd boy. As if they have identified you, they have recognized you. And they're all following you, trying to have the nectar from you. They're just following you, singing your glories. So all those bees are glorified. And then he says, look at the peacocks. They are dancing for you. And he describes each and every living entity. And he's glorifying Balaramji. And then he says, look at how this planet Earth has become so fortunate just by having your dust. How this grass and the bushes are so fortunate because they are touched by your lotus feet. And how this all these creepers and trees are fortunate because they are touched by you. And that beautiful glorification is going on between Shri Krishna and Shri Balaram. That is glorifying every living entity, how they are offering services, and is glorifying the whole Vraj. Again, a mood of prema, a mood of appreciation, a mood of glorification is pervading. So here we see so many, therefore we see, people say, do not think of going back to Godhead. Create this world as back to Godhead. This world has got to it. Do not try to change outside. Change inside that the place become beautiful to live in. Dukhalyam becomes Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. It just becomes Sukhalyam. So a lot of work has to be done from within. And therefore we hear another story about Maharaj Yudhishthira and Dronacharya, about change from within. Dronacharya tells all his disciples, you come, and the first lesson for all of you, is, control your anger. One devotee was sharing a nice thing. He said, in our Vidyapeet, in GV, they give topics for presentation. And he was telling, one of the topics which is given for presentation is tolerance. And he said, it's just so difficult to speak on that because tolerance is such a high quality, but then you have to speak on it. And then especially when we are told to speak on topics when everyone knows us inside out, then it becomes all the more difficult. Everybody knows what you are and then you speak on a certain topic. And for all of us, I mean, this is just a struggle. That's why when this verse says, you know, it says that our limited senses must become connected with the Lord's unlimited senses. Our senses cannot approach the absolute truth by their own power. And that definitely these qualities are so lofty and most of us fail just. I mean, at least I can say for myself, it just becomes so difficult. And therefore, I appreciate this story between Maharaj Yudhishthira and Dronacharya, where Dronacharya says, control your anger. And he's asking all his disciples, okay, so do you understand the lesson? Do you understand the lesson? And everybody, yes, we understood. Can you imagine Bhima would have said, I understood. Of all the people, Bhima would have said, I understood. And then Arjun said, I understood. And then, I think Duryodhana would have said, I understood. And of all the people, Maharaj Yudhishthira says, I did not understand. And then 2 days pass. Do you understand? I did not. Of all the people, the person who is telling I did not understand is Maharaj Yudhishthira, who is supposed to be most sober. And then few days pass. Dronacharya again asks, do you understand? No, I did not understand. No wonder, I mean, Lord Krishna in Gita repeats same one quality many times. And you're wondering why he's repeating. Does he not know the art of teaching? Maybe he should read something about art of teaching, how to teach. Okay, done. If one person keeps repeating the same story again and again, it can be too much sometimes. Like in Gaur Leela, we hear Nimai Pandit goes to this and keeps repeating about Krishna Leela, and the boys are wondering, you are supposed to teach us grammar, what are you doing? And all the boys get one time, they enjoy Krishna Katha, but they're wondering, we are supposed to learn something else. And then they go and complain to his teacher. So Dronacharya, again and again, is, do you understand? Yes or no, do you understand? I'm not asking you. Do you understand? Finally, he goes to Maharaj Yudhishthira, and after many days, and then he says, do you understand? He said, I did not understand. And Dronacharya gets wild and furious. Do you not understand? He said, I don't know. The way I heard, the version I heard, that he starts beating him. And after yelling at him and chastising him, and if I think he was beating him, and Yudhishthira Maharaj says, now I understood. He says, why you took so long to understand? He said, I was not sure when somebody gets angry on me, then I'm going to rebel or not, if I'm going to feel that anger from within or not. But now I understood. And Dronacharya is thinking, I forgot to understand. I got angry on you. Sometimes while teaching, yeah, so there's a lot of emphasis on changing from within instead of trying to change from outside. So when you say prema manjana churita, and the another verse which is mentioned from Bhagavad Gita, which is telling, where Lord Krishna is telling, natu mam shakyasi drashtum ane naiva swa chakshusha divyam dadami te chakshu pashya me yogamesh. You cannot see with your present eyes. Somebody sent me a text message. It's written. Actually, my mother sent it, let me tell you, because it's such a sweet message. She gave me a lesson. She said, remember this. She said, if your eyes are positive, you will love the world. But if your tongue is positive, the world will love you. I liked it. If your eyes are positive, you will love the world. But if your tongue is positive, the world will love you. So a lot of emphasis that if you have to make this experience what is Vaikuntha, the change has to be brought from within. Change is not supposed to be outside, it is from within. And therefore here, one who is saturated with love of Godhead, he can see Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam. Achintya, otherwise Lord remains inconceivable. And therefore somebody was asking, why do we discuss so much on the subject of envy? We discuss all the time, envy, 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 so much envy. Like somebody is asking me, why do I not have taste in the holy name? And I in my excitement said, because there is envy. He was a new person. And the person sitting next to him, he said, oh, how can you say that? No, it's not envy. Just by practice you will develop taste. Because people get sometimes nervous, such a heavy word, you know, why envy? Where is envy in the picture? Nobody wants to hear the disease. And I mean, all of us in conditioned state, we do not want to hear the disease. Like Ramayana says, in one place it says, I think Vibhishan is glorifying Lord Ram in front of Ravan, and he's speaking truth, straight truth. And there one of the verses which is quoted is, he says, a mantri, a vaidya and a guru should never cover the truth out of the fear that you will lose your customer. Or you will lose your whatever, or you will displease, or you will lose your profit. A vaidya, a doctor should speak this truth. Of course, one thing is speaking truth with sensitivity, that's another part. But here what we are speaking is importance of speaking the truth. And therefore, Bhagavad speaks again and again, or Gita also speaks again and again about envy. When somebody said, why so much about envy? We say the whole problem is started from envy only. Ichha dvesha samuthena. Nobody wants to be subjugated or controlled. Envy, why you are God? Why I am not God? And therefore Bhagavad says in the beginning only, nirmat saranam. Give up your envy, then you can understand the absolute truth. So mantri, if a mantri speaks false for the benefit of Raja, like all Ravan's mantri were doing, havoc in his life. And then if a guru speaks false for the disciple, just for the sake of disciple will become of course we have to speak really with sensitivity, people really run away. I mean, if we are dealt harshly, sometimes that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur tells the story of that Balam, what is that? Basmati rice, and he's feeding nicely to his disciples. Okay, stay, keep doing bhaktis, eat nicely. But if spoken harshly, then who will stay in bhakti? But then concept is given. A guru is supposed to speak the truth. Vaidya is supposed to speak, the doctor is supposed to speak the truth. And mantri. That's why most people fail to follow Ayurvedic medicines. Because so much dietary prescriptions are there. And most people fail to follow. Most of the tasty items you are not supposed to eat. Is it not? All the delicious items are out of your diet. But then here, the concept, nirmat saranam satam, that envy has to be eradicated. The envy has to go away. And therefore, what is the most important? I think somewhere we heard in yesterday's class about Shraddha. Shraddha is something most important possession or wealth which a devotee would have. Faith. It is always challenged. Faith. If the faith is delicate, it is always under, what do you say, under attack by different forces. In one of the verses which is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bahu Shastra, Bahu Vakya, Chitta Brahma Hoye. My intelligence is getting bewildered by Bahu Shastra, Bahu Vakya, too many scriptures, too many evidences, too many Shastric statements. So what is the most important is Shraddha. And therefore Shraddha, Ashraddha Dhana Purusha, Dharma Sasya, one who has no faith will come back to the cycle of birth and death. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. One who keeps faith. Therefore, just to open these books, Srila Prabhupada's books, and have faith in the most simple and sublime statements, lifelong to preserve faith in these simple words and keep doing the same thing and the same thing is such a challenge. And so many distractions about karma and jnana and so many other things just steal away that faith. That's why we hear this statement. Do not be surprised how many, what is that? Do not be surprised how many leave. Surprise how many stay as devotees. Faith is something so difficult. How many get distracted? And we all, faith so difficult to preserve. So difficult to remain obedient to the system set by Srila Prabhupada, to the philosophy, Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. And to understand who is absolute truth. In one sense, if you see, who is absolute truth, it's just revealed to us so easily. At least in the beginning, it's told to us. Now we have to just realize it. Like there's one couple who comes to our journey of self-discovery course, and they were telling me that how I, in our journey of self-discovery school, we have one session, God and Demigods. And in this God and Demigods, now some of us have been so, I don't know of all of you, but I was like a clean slate, absolutely clean slate, in the sense of, I didn't know what philosophy is, who is God. I didn't even bother who is God, he is God, who is God, let me do my work. Till in 17 years old age, I came to, in touch with I came to the temple and attended the course. And then I said, okay, they said, who is God? Krishna is God. Fine. What to chant? Hare Krishna. Fine. Whom to follow? Shri Prabhupada. Fine. Which book to read? Shri Prabhupada's Gita. Fine. Done. Okay. Life started. It just became simple. Life started. Now, I was teaching this journey of self-discovery course, and this one, and in my course I was telling, okay, here we have God and here we have demigods. And I very nicely presented an Excel sheet, okay, those columns are there. This is the difference. God, first point. Demigod, second point. God, second. Demigod, second point. God, third point. Demigod. Done. And I thought I did a great presentation. Very nice. Very nice. Great. But then what? Now, this one lady is telling, she is in the later age of the life. Can you imagine if somebody has crossed 40 or somebody near that age? Whole life they have worshipped Lord Shiva as their life and soul. Whole life that's their only focus. Please Lord Shiva. Please Lord Shiva. Please Lord Shiva. And for somebody like me, for whom it didn't matter, Lord Ganesh, Lord Shiva, Lord Durga, Lord Vishnu, Lord Ram, nothing in the beginning. So it was not so heavy on my sentiments to say that it's demigod. Just use that word, demigod. And first they were saying, oh, this course is going so nice, this is going so nice. And we generally introduce this topic later, God and demigods, because we know this is going to really break hearts. And this lady said, as soon as you use the word demigod, she didn't tell me that day, she told me later. She said, as soon as you use the word demigod, and I asked another devotee, what is the meaning of the word demigod? And that devotee told her, demigod means false god. She was devastated. She was just devastated. And to me, it will not sink in why somebody should get devastated. Because for me, that affection was not there. But then I was thinking, somebody who has that affection, actually, now I started thinking about it. I never thought about this all these years. I thought, because naturally, though, all those who came at young age didn't bother to them. But for somebody who is worshipping for 30, 35 years, suddenly you break their faith and you speak something so harsh. It's so difficult to take. And then she is telling that she cried and cried at home. But one good thing is she didn't like leave. She came the next day also. She was open to change. She was open to transform. She was open to hear something which is suddenly revolutionary for her, suddenly different from her conceptions, but ready to take it. But she cried and cried, and she told me this several months later, maybe a year later, how much I cried that day. And she said, at least do not use the word demigod, use a word devata. Sunne ko bhi achha lagta hai. Devata, worshipable. Why you are using the word demigod and being so harsh? And I was thinking, I never had that harsh mood in my heart. At least I was not thinking like that. I just used a word without knowing how heavy it can mean to someone. But one thing is, how by Srila Prabhupada's grace, we just know right in the beginning, at least those who were came blank slate, clean slate, they just know right in the beginning, what to do, what is sambandha, what is abhideya, what is prayojan. Fine. Who is God? Krishna is God. Kya karna hai? Jab karna hai. Kahan jana hai? Bhagavad Dham. Chalo, done. It was so simple. And the funny thing is, I mean, I don't know if I should quote here or not, but some may not like it, but still I'll quote. I came to this station. Actually, I didn't tell this long time to someone. It just clicked me later on what happened that day. I came to Grant Road station from Mira Road, where I did the course, where I heard the whole story. I came here, I sat in the taxi, and I was coming to the temple from Grant Road in the taxi. And, sometimes they're putting the music in the car. So they're putting one song there. And I was reflecting in my heart how special we are and how grateful we should be, Srila Prabhupada, that we have been clean slate with no philosophy. I mean, not clean slate, so many other nonsense was there, but at least philosophically there was no confusion. And it was just written, Krishna is God, chant Hare Krishna, go back to Godhead. And I sat, and a song was being played. When I was carrying these thoughts, and I just became all the more overwhelmed. You know what was the song? It says, Kora kagaz tha ye dil mera, likh diya naam isme tera. I said, wow, this is exactly what we were. Our heart was like kora kagaz. It was like a clean slate. It was like a blank paper. And Srila Prabhupada just wrote down, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, chant Hare Krishna with all humility, with all tolerance, go back to Godhead. It was like that. Who is the absolute truth? So here one of the lines which says here is, although the absolute truth is transcendental to the material creation and beyond the scope of material senses, transcendental to material. Can you imagine if all the life we keep hearing absolute truth, with no understanding what absolute truth is. And now we know who is absolute truth, and then we know such beautiful qualities of absolute truth from Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami. Oh, such wonderful qualities. First he says 64 qualities, then he says the 50 qualities in minute portion are with the jiva, then he adds some more, and then he adds more qualities. He says, I can say some more qualities. One quality he says about Lord Krishna is that he is a very wonderful linguist.
we do not just know absolute truth, we know all the qualities of absolute truth, and we read about those qualities, such beautiful qualities. Wonderful linguist. Where one gopi is going and telling another gopi, he says, just see Krishna, how he speaks. He says, he goes to demigods. Demigods come to him rather, and he speaks such eloquent language to communicate to them, and they understand him, and he understands them, and absolutely heart-to-heart connection. And then he goes to all the elders. He went to Nanda Maharaj on the day of Govardhan Puja, and this quality is mentioned as fluent, very fluent, and some other word is used. He says, in such a, he says, before even Nanda Maharaj realized, he got convinced that we should stop Indra Puja and we should do Govardhan Puja. He said, so pleasingly, in such a fluent way, he just convinced Maharaj Nanda. Then he says, then Gopi says that, and Krishna is such a wonderful linguist, he can know exactly how to speak to every bee. He knows exactly how to speak to every bird. Krishna knows how to speak to every cow. He calls out the cow as grave as the sound like a thundering, very loud, at the same time very pleasing. He calls out to each and every cow. And then he says that Shri Krishna, wow, they are wondering. And same Krishna, when he comes to us, he captivates us by his sweet talk. He knows of art of talking to everyone and winning the heart of everyone. And another quality which is mentioned is pleasing talker. Krishna is such a pleasing talker. How in the pleasing, in what context? He says, he writes that when he was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, he danced and danced and danced, and what do you say? Smashing on his hoods so harsh, blood coming out, and all his ego is smashed, and he's completely humbled. मतलब इतना मारा, इतना मारा, इतना मारा, so much smashing, so much smashing, so much smashing, and all his family is watching, and the whole of Raj is watching, and the family of the snake is watching, and after that he says, I am sorry, dar to nahi hua, and he's asking, I am sorry, pain to nahi, I don't know, pain to nahi likha usme, but the point is, he's saying, I am sorry, I beat you so harshly, but what can I do? I just love the cows so much, for their sake I had to do that to protect them. So he is begging forgiveness from Kaliya. This is how Rupa Goswami explains the Nectar of Devotion. He is telling, such a pleasing talker. And many wonderful qualities. Another quality is promising. Says he fulfills his promise. He told Kunti, I'll get your 5 sons back. He got 5 sons back. Very promising. So here, just to summarize what we discussed, here we know who is absolute truth. We know his qualities very thoroughly. And then we hear from absolute truth that if you want to experience Vishwam Purna Sukhayate, you do not need to change the outside, change the inside. It is not the outside which is causing problem, it is the inside which is causing problem. And with beautiful qualities in Bhagavad Gita, chapter after chapter after chapter, in 11 chapters qualities are mentioned in out of 18. And we discussed through all these examples about an institution who is telling, we have to make Satya Yug. With the institution who is telling, do not think of going to heaven, make this place as heaven. And with our acharyas who are telling, do not be too eager for back to God and make this world like Vaikuntha. We are hearing from Ramanujacharya, do not be eager to go Vaikuntha. By your service attitude, make this place as Vaikuntha. And then we have the example of Kekai, who is so beautiful outside, but inside, afflicted with the virus of Mantra. She cannot see any beauty in Ayodhya, which is full of beauty and love. And then we saw Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan, how Lord Krishna is appreciating every bee and every peacock and cuckoos and trees and the bushes. What is Vrindavan? And then we saw Maharaj Yudhishthira and Dronacharya. How Maharaj Yudhishthira is telling Dronacharya, did you learn how to control anger? He said, no. Till he conquered from within. And then we saw Maharaj Parikshit, who is telling, even if I take birth again, Maitri Astu Sarvatra. Let me have friendship to all living entities. Hare Krishna, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Samavet Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.